Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Last week, we asked the question, why is the world so messed up? We looked at some of the political candidates who are running for president of the United States who want to tax the very rich as much as what would be equivalent to a 158% income tax rate. We asked questions about why we're seeing more and more wildfires, why climate change is having a bigger impact on this planet, and why people around the world seem to be uneasy and frustrated with the governments that are ruling over them in their countries. Last week, we had the opportunity to look at some of the financial reasons why the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. We looked at the concept that is taught in the Old Testament of the Jubilee year, where property gets restored to people after 50 years. In the modern era, people exploit other people. The rich become increasingly more rich. They become richer and richer almost every day. The poor and the middle class struggle just to maintain what they already have. We looked at tithing as one of the financial laws from the Bible that could go a long way to explaining why the world is so messed up today. We also examined how tithing is an agricultural law based on the increase of the crops of the field and how we need to take that and apply that in the modern era. Aside from the financial laws and the fact that it seems, maybe just the opinion, that the rich are becoming richer and the poor are becoming poorer, is the understanding that more people are suffering from what is called food insecurity. People may not know where their next meal is coming from. We're not talking about people who are totally dependent upon somebody else, say the little children or the very old. We're talking about working class people who should be fully responsible for themselves and for their family. It's these people that are having great difficulty in an increasing manner in understanding where their next meal is coming from. In some major cities where the cost of living is very high, more families are becoming homeless, not because people are making poor personal choices. People can no longer afford the cost of rent or a mortgage. More people are living in tents or under a bridge or in their home or in their cars. Financial situations have gotten worse, and with worse financial situations comes the concept of food insecurity. Food banks in the community can only take care of so much of the need. It's important for each of us as we come across people who may need assistance to get their next meal that we consider their needs, and as God has blessed us, that we share with them the blessing that God has also given to us. There are some reasons why we have problems with food insecurity that are related to the financial inequalities in our society, where the rich are becoming richer and the poor are becoming poorer. There are also agricultural reasons why we have concerns with our crops. We'll take a look at a verse we looked at last week from Leviticus 25. Let's look at Leviticus 25, verse 19. Leviticus 25, verse 19. And the land shall yield her fruit, and you shall eat your fill, and dwell therein in safety. And if ye shall say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow, nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years, and you shall sow the eighth year, and eat yet of old fruit until the ninth year. Until our fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store. The seventh year that is talked about in these verses was a year when the fruit was not harvested. It was a year when the ground was allowed to lie fallow, untilled. Anything that would grow would simply be allowed to stay for the wild animals to eat. When it became time to plow the land the next year, everything would be plowed under, increasing the nutrients of the field. Today, we believe that we should use artificial fertilizers to increase our crop harvests. Fertilizers are used to increase the quantity of food that is grown in each field. And while it's a similar concept to what is being described about in Leviticus 25, it's much different. What's talked about in Leviticus 25, verse 19, is organic in nature. There's nothing artificial about what was being discussed in Leviticus 25, verse 19. Taking man-made fertilizers, chemically engineered fertilizers, and putting them into the ground is not an organic response to manage our food needs in this nation or around the world. Because we are not paying careful attention to the crops that we eat, the fruit that we eat, we have increased problems with food and disease. The use of man-made fertilizers created in a lab is having an impact on crops and fruit. Beyond that is the modern belief that any animal is good to eat. And sadly, that information is based on passages from the New Testament. Some people believe that animals that were declared unclean in the Old Testament are perfectly fine to eat today. Let's take a look at some of the reasons why people might believe that, and we'll begin in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving to them which believe and know the truth. And then they take a look closely at verse 4 and look at these words, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it to be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Some people look at this passage from 1 Timothy and say, see, we can eat any animal. What is being taught to us in verse 3 is that there are some people who will teach not to eat animals. One of the modern teachings in the modern era is to go low on the food chain, to eat vegetables and plants instead of animals. What we're being taught in verse 3 is those animals which God created to be received with thanksgiving are perfectly fine to eat. We'll learn in the Old Testament which animals were received or created to be received with thanksgiving and which animals were created to serve another purpose here on earth. There's a big difference between the two kind of animals. Some people will look at a passage from the book of Acts as a basis for why we should eat clean and unclean animals today. Let's look at Acts 10, verse 9. Acts 10, verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up into the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. This would be the middle of the day, noontime, lunchtime. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Peter went into, you know, what we jokingly might call a food coma today. His mind wandered. He was hungry. But in this case, we'll see that it was much more than that. It was spiritually brought on by the Holy Spirit so that Peter could learn something of great importance that he wasn't willing to consider before this time. Verse 11, And Peter saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, thou that call not thou common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. So from verse 16, we can see that, you know, the rooster crowed three times, you know, for Peter to get the message. Peter had to have information repeated to him for him to get the concept. So what was the concept that Peter was being taught here? He was being taught that what God hath cleansed, Peter should not call common. And the vision that God used in this sequence for Peter to understand was clean and unclean animals. Peter correctly said, "I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Many people will look to this passage in Acts 10:9-16 and say, "See, we are to eat both the clean and the unclean meats as listed in the Old Testament." We get an explanation of what this vision was intended to convey, the message that Peter was to learn from this particular vision. Let's look at verse 17. "Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate." So right before these representatives of a Gentile, a Roman centurion, were to make contact with Peter, God and the Holy Spirit gave Peter this vision that what was considered to be common should not be considered common if God had cleansed it. Verse 18, "These people called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." So Peter was a hardhead. He had to have stuff repeated to him multiple times for him to get the concept. Peter got into this huge argument and disagreement with the Apostle Paul regarding the question if Gentiles could be called and become believers of Jesus Christ. God went through this great extent to teach Peter this particular lesson. Verse 21, "Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause whereafore ye are come?" Verse 22, "And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee." Before this vision, Peter would have rejected these people. He would have seen these people as common, as unclean. God used this incredible vision not to tell Peter to eat unclean meats, but to teach Peter, who was headstrong, who was stubborn, who needed information repeated to him often, that Gentiles could be called by God, and when they are called by God, should be treated no differently than people who were Jews should be treated in the conversion to Christianity. Neither the passage from 1 Timothy 4 or from this book of Acts tell us that we should be eating unclean meats. Eating foods that were not intended to be eaten today not only are unhealthy for us, there is an environmental impact that is not being understood by people in the modern era. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 14, beginning with verse 3. Here's where we're taught about clean and unclean animals, what we should eat and what we shouldn't eat. And we'll see that there's this difference, this dichotomy between the two kind of animals. And we'll talk about that as we go through these verses. Verse 3 of Deuteronomy chapter 14, thou shalt not eat any abominable thing. These are the beasts which ye shall eat, the ox, the sheep, and the goat, the hart, and the roebuck, and the fallow deer, and the wild goat, and the pygarg, and the wild ox, and the camies. And every beast that parteth the hoof, and cleaveth the cleft into two claws, and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that ye shall eat. These verses show us that among the red meats, we would be looking at things like cattle, sheep, lamb, goat, deer, the venison, bison, ox. Those are the kind of animals that we should be eating. Well, let's take a look at some of the animals which we should not be eating. Verse 7, nevertheless, these ye shall not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the cloven hoof, as the camel and the hare and the coney, for they chew the cud, but divide not the hoof, therefore they are unclean unto you. So even though the camel is a huge animal that is used in certain parts of the world to transport goods and for racing, even though it's as big as a cattle, it's not an animal that we should be using for food, because here we're taught not to do that. Verse 8, and the swine, because it divideth the hoof, yet cheweth not the cud, it is unclean unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass. So pigs, pork, bacon, ham, these are all foods we should not be eating, because verse 8 tells us not to eat those foods. When we think of the difference between a pig and a cow, one of the big differences is the pig is known to be a garbage eater. It's sort of nature's land-based garbage disposal system. The pig will eat a dead animal if it's tossed into its food area. It'll eat garbage, it'll eat leftovers, it'll eat things that are rotten, compared to the other animals, which are known to eat grasses and vegetables and crops. That's what makes the big difference, is where the food source comes from. When we think of the environmental impact, when we don't have swine that are eating garbage, we have a garbage situation we need to take care of. And what do we do in the modern era for garbage? We take it out and we dump it in the ocean. We bury it in the land. And yet God had instituted this biological system called the pig. And whatever toxins would have been in the garbage would have been destroyed by the biology of the pig. And what would have been left would have simply been something that could have been composted and then mixed into the soil and increased the organic quality of the earth. Here we had a good description, the first few verses, of land animals. Let's take a look at what we might get out of the ocean or lakes or streams. Verse 9, these you shall eat of all that are in the waters, all that have fins and scales shall ye eat. Verse 10, and whatsoever hath not fins and scales ye may not eat, it is unclean unto you. So when we're talking about ocean critters that have fins and scales, we know we're not going to eat whales. we know we're not going to eat dolphins or shark, because although all of those have fins, they don't have scales. We know we're not going to eat catfish, because catfish also do not have scales. It's a smooth-skinned fish, as is an eel. What we would be eating are things like salmon, trout, cod, fish that have both scales and fins. Looking at verse 9 and 10, we should come to the realization we're not going to eat shrimp, because shrimp live in the water, but they don't have fins and scales. We're not going to eat lobster, because again, those animals don't have fins and scales. We're not going to eat crab, because crabs don't have fins and scales. So when we compare the difference between the two styles of animals, and we look at the shrimp, we look at the crab and the lobster and the catfish, all of those are bottom feeding animals. They eat the crud and the sediment that filters down to the lowest levels of the river, the lake, the ocean. They are the garbage eaters of the aquatic system. And when we harvest shrimp, crab, and lobster for food, we upset the ecosystem that God created at the beginning of time. And so when we look around and we see horrible things happening in our ocean beyond us taking garbage and dumping it in the ocean, some of that is coming directly from this imbalance that occurs because we have rotting and decaying materials in the ocean which are not being consumed by these bottom feeders. If you take something and let it decompose in a body of water, it's going to upset and change the pH level of that body of water. And that's going to increase maybe algae bloom in the water. And all of a sudden, you've dramatically changed the ecosystem and everything gets out of whack. When we wonder why are the oceans out of whack today, part of it comes down to the fact we're eating the wrong kind of animals out of the ocean. Eating animals with fish, with fins and scales are fine. Eating other kind of animals, which are your animals of prey or animals that are the garbage eaters, those are the kind of animals we need to be avoiding. Let's look at verse 11. We'll consider what kind of birds we should be eating. Verse 11, of all clean birds you shall eat. But these are they of which you shall not eat, the eagle, the ossifrage, and the osprey, the glede, the kite, and the vulture after his kind, and every raven after his kind, and the owl, the nighthawk, the cuckoo, the hawk after its kind, the little owl, the great owl, and the swan, and the pelican, and the deer eagle, and the cormorant, and the stork, and the heron after her kind, and the lapwing, and the bat. Here for the birds, we're given a long list of the birds we should not be eating. And when you carefully consider the birds, we have birds of prey, eagles, hawks. We have scavenger birds, the vultures. Even animals, birds like the owl. That's a predator. The swan, as beautiful as it looks, is a predator because it goes after fish, as does the pelican and the heron. The bat in verse 18 is a different kind of animal altogether. It's not a bird, but it flies at night. We should not be eating that. Verse 19, and every creeping thing that flieth is unclean unto you, they shall not be eaten. So anything that crawls along the ground that has wings like a cockroach, we shouldn't be eating. Verse 20, but of all clean fowls ye may eat. So the chickens, the duck, the Cornish game hen, the turkey, anything that is clean we can eat. Even among the clean animals, people were not to eat anything that died of natural causes. An animal could be slaughtered for food, but an animal that died by itself, it was not an animal that should be eaten by people. Verse 21, you shall not eat of anything that dieth of itself. Thou shalt give it unto the stranger that is in thy gates, that he may eat it, or thou mayest sell it unto an alien, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. And something else to consider in verse 21, thou shalt not seethe a kid in his mother's milk. Veal is not to be prepared in milk, according to verse 21. To God, that is something that is just totally wrong. When we take a look at the environmental problems that we have in the world today, the environmental problems are man-made. It's because man has rejected God, we see these environmental problems. Part of the environmental problems that we do see are caused because we use man-made fertilizers instead of allowing the fields to lie dormant every seventh year. By doing that, we would increase the ability of the earth to produce more crops. Another reason why we have environmental problems is as a society, we are mistakenly eating animals that God did not create to be eaten with thanksgiving. We are eating animals that God created to be the garbage disposal systems of land and oceans. And as a result, we have problems with refuse and land and trash dumps that are just burgeoning at the seams. We have problems with oceans where the pH level is totally out of whack, where we see reefs dying, where we see algae blooms out of control. All of this could be changed by simply reverting back to what God taught from the very beginning of time. Something else that God taught from the very beginning of time that was codified for the ancient Israelites were the Ten Commandments. We tend to think that the Ten Commandments no longer apply because Jesus came and died for us. Everything that Jesus did was based on these Ten Commandments that he summarized as loving God with all your heart and all your mind and loving your neighbor as yourself. That's a very good summary of the Ten Commandments, where the first four commandments show us how to love God and the final six commandments show us how to love our fellow man. So let's take a look at Exodus 20, beginning with verse 1. Exodus 20, beginning with verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. We are not to anthropomorphize God, or to put God into the form of any animal creature that we see anywhere in the earth that we know. God is much more than his creation. Verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Many people look at verse 7 and say we should not use God's name in conjunction with cuss words. And that's a very fair assessment of verse 7. The bigger problem that most people get themselves into with verse 7 without ever realizing is they pretend to be God's children. They pretend to be God's children. but they do things which show that, in fact, they are not God's children. If we are going to commit ourselves to God, we have to commit ourselves to God in a way that is truthful, that is not phony. We cannot be the children of God in name only. The name that I have is directly taken from my physical father. And much of what I enjoy in my life today as a man in his 50s is a result of the sacrifice that he made throughout his life and that my mother is making throughout her life. All of that has benefited me even to this later time in my life. We cannot simply take the name of God and pretend to be his children, to take the name of God in vain, and other than that, totally ignore God and what he would have us do. If we are going to be God's children, we need to be very mindful of what God would have us do. Because if we are simply God's children in name only, we are taking the name of God in vain. And that's something that God says is totally not cool with him. You know, he will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And if thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor any stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The fourth commandment, the Sabbath day, is something that is ignored in today's world. The Sabbath day, as listed in the Ten Commandments, is firmly understood to be what we would think of as Saturday on the modern calendar, from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. That's the Sabbath that is talked about in the fourth commandment. Some people think, didn't that change when Jesus died? You know, because Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week, wouldn't that make that the Lord's Day? And shouldn't we observe and worship God on the Lord's Day? That's not what is discussed at all in the Ten Commandments. If we are indeed God's children, we will listen to God. We will follow what he has for us to do. And part of that is following him in the observance of the Sabbath day. Let's look at verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We have Father's Day, we have Mother's Day. Here on the border with Mexico, 2020 will be a very unique year because the Mother's Day as it's observed in Mexico and Mother's Day as it's observed in the United States will occur on exactly the same day. In most years, there's a few days difference between the celebrations in the two countries, but that is a tradition that we have in most countries to honor fathers and mothers on a day. But honoring a father and a mother solely on Mother's Day is insufficient to fulfill the requirement of verse 12. If we honor our father and our mother, we listen to what they told us when we were younger, and we apply that as adults in our life. Parents, whether you agree with them or disagree with them, take action and do things generally with the best interest of their children in mind. Parents, do not take a course of action to harm their children unless there is some kind of mental illness or derangement that might be going on with them. There are sadly some folks who are very unable to be parents. Those children in those families are typically taken by the state and placed into foster care. But the vast majority of parents, they do have the best interests of their kids in heart. And they want good things to happen for them. And so children need to take the effort to listen to what their parents would have them do in life. Because parents do have the best interests of their children. Verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Beyond murder, we should never do anything which is going to endanger the life of another person. But verse 13 is talking about the act of murder. Verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. When you're in a marriage relationship, you should be committed to your spouse. You should not take advantage and cheat on your spouse by having an extramarital affair. Verse 15, thou shalt not steal. Stealing happens in many different ways. Part of the reasons businesses have difficulty is because employees steal from them. If you work for a business, you have certain perks and benefits that come from that job. All jobs have those perks and benefits. When I worked in education, I knew that at certain times of the year, I would have vacation and still effectively be paid. That's a perk or benefit of working in public education. Some people appropriate benefits to themselves without permission. And when you appropriate benefits to yourself without permission, that's called stealing. And that's one of the reasons why we have economic difficulties in the modern era. People work for a company and they steal from them because they somehow have this false idea of entitlement that they can simply take from the company because they're sticking it to the man. There once, many years ago, was a wonderful pastry and floral shop close to my house. What I liked about this pastry and floral shop was not the flowers, because I didn't go there to buy flowers. I went there to buy the pastries because the pastries were huge. And they were huge at the average size price. We think of, you know, the bear claw pastry. Well, my joke was they served the Kodiak, you know, bear claw pastry because it was a huge bear claw. Most people, when they eat a bear claw pastry, they may eat a pastry the size of a closed fist. This particular bear claw pastry was more the size of maybe a shoe, you know, that size 12, 13, or 14. It was a huge bear claw. The donuts were maybe three times the size of your average donut. The apple fritters looked like they could be the size of an entire pie. The pastries were huge, and this was a wonderful pastry shop. But because the employees appropriated to themselves without permission certain things, the pastry shop lost money and went out of business. You see, this pastry shop, in addition to selling pastries and cakes for weddings, also sold flowers. And what did the employees steal from the business? Well, they stole the flowers. When it came time for Mother's Day, the flowers went missing. When it came time for Valentine's Day, the flowers went missing. Some of the employees took the flowers and they sold them on the side. Others made sure their friends and family were well taken care of on these days. Yet others just gave them away to customers who smiled nicely. The business lacked the security controls to make sure the employees wouldn't steal from them. And because they suffered extensive floral losses, the business was not viable and it had to close. And when the business closed because employees were stealing the flowers, Well, that meant, you know, there went the incredible large-sized Kodiak bear claws and the donuts that were triple the size that you would find anywhere else. A sad day for those who like food when this particular pastry and floral shop closed down. Let's look at verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. When we live with a neighbor, we live next to each other for mutual benefit, for mutual safety. It's important to treat neighbors with courtesy, kindness, and respect. It may not always be possible to get along with neighbors, especially if they have greatly different personalities and perspectives. Sometimes, sadly, cultural differences come into the problems that neighbors have with each other. We should live peaceably with all people because it's only to our benefit when we do that. Verse 16 tells us we shall not bear false witness against thy neighbor. We should not lie, and that we should especially not lie when it causes a problem for somebody else. Verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Coveting is the lowest form and lowest common denominator to evils that follow. I think of a child who was kidnapped and whose parents were brutalized. And it all began with an act of coveting. The perpetrator saw the teenager and every one of the teenager and everything stemmed from there. It's very horrible that coveting can lead to so much grief. Sometimes people take a look at the 10th commandment about coveting and wonder if they should have any ambition in life. Well, having ambition and coveting are two different things. When we desire to do something, we should always desire to do something with the understanding that what we desire to do will only happen for us if it is God's will for it to happen in our life. And if God would want our life to go in another direction, whatever we might want to do won't happen the way we would want it to happen because it wouldn't go according to God's will. There's a big difference between ambition and coveting. So if you happen to see your neighbor's house and you covet it, you would be willing to do something very evil and vile down the road to take your neighbor's house. So coveting always has this element of wanting something so badly you would take it without any legitimate transaction that would occur for you to acquire that property. So when we covet something, we would be willing to take it when there is no merit for us to take it. We would take it through theft or by any other unsavory means. If we see our neighbor's house and we happen to like our neighbor's house and we have the financial capacity to make an offer to buy our neighbor's house, that's a different matter. If we see our neighbor's house and we think, wow, they really have done a nice job on their front yard, I would like to do something like that on my front yard, that's okay as well. We wouldn't want to go over at night and steal everything from the front yard and move it over to our front yard. That would be coveting. That would be stealing. That would be wrong. There's nothing wrong with seeing something that is different than we have and working hard to get to that point. But there is something totally wrong with us when we see something that we want and we develop a scheme or a way to take it when there is no merit for us to have that particular item. Today, we looked at some of the reasons why the world is so messed up. We took a look at the dietary laws and the land laws. We reviewed the fact that every 7 years the land should be allowed to stay fallow, and that anything that grows on its own accord during that year should be tilled back into the ground so that the nutrients can grow and develop in the land. We looked at God's law of clean and unclean meats, and we learned that many of the verses that people will look at as allowing us to eat clean and unclean meats really don't apply. They're a misunderstanding. And we also learned that the animals that are the unclean animals are really there to serve an ecological purpose. When we look at why the ecosystem is so messed up in the world, part of it is because we are eating God's natural garbage disposal system on land and in the ocean. And as a result, the world is not as it was intended to be by God. The world is polluted and rather messed up. Next week, we'll take a look at the holy days that God intended for mankind to keep and compare them to the holidays that men typically keep, and we'll see why the holidays that men keep are not the holidays that we should be keeping as Christians. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together again next week on the Sabbath. Until next time, thank you for joining us today.